going to obey the Lord tonight and do as he's told me to do. Some time ago, when he called me to preach, and I felt so inadequate to preach his word. And I went before him one night and I said, "Lord, but what am I going to preach?" And he said, "Don't try to preach something you don't know. Teach and preach what you already know." And he said, he's spoken to me so many times in the meantime and said, in essence, these words. He keeps saying to me, "Feed my sheep." He keeps saying, "Feed my sheep." And one night, this goes back a couple of years now, it was before we were ever a church. But as I was praying and I was just telling the Lord how much I loved him, just pouring out my love, you know, it's just one of those wonderful times with God. And he just spoke in my spirit and he said, "Son, do you really love me?" And I said, "Yes, Lord." I said, "You know I love you." "Well, I know enough about the Bible to know where that comes from. That's the 21st chapter of John, and those are the words of Jesus unto Peter." And the Lord said again, I said, "Yes, I love you." And he said, "Feed my sheep." This is before we were a church now. And then he said the second time, he said, "Son, do you really love me?" And about that time, you know, I knew what my answer was, but I was embarrassed that the Lord would even ask me that. And I said, "Yes, Lord." I said, "You know I love you." And he said, "Feed my sheep." I was all set. You know, I know enough about John 21 to know that Jesus asked Peter three times. Well, I was all set for the third shot. But see, God knows me. And he didn't give me the third shot. And that so many times as I've thought back upon that night, and I know that my imagination wasn't playing tricks on me. If it was my imagination, he'd have spoken three times, not twice. You understand what I'm saying? And so many times in the intervening months, the Lord has just said, "Feed my sheep." He said, "I want you to feed my sheep." And so many of God's sheep are starved to death. They don't have anything to eat that nourishes the spirit man. They get plenty of fluff. And they get plenty of what I call marshmallow. You know what it is to bite into a marshmallow? It's about this big and it looks like a mouthful, but when you put it into your mouth and you bite on it, you don't have anything. Or cotton candy is like that. You take a mouthful of cotton candy and when you put it in your mouth, you don't have anything. There isn't anything there to nourish you. Well, the only thing that will nourish your inner man is this. The Word of God is what your spirit man is crying out for. And this is when God says, "Feed my sheep," this is the kind of food he's talking about. And he's told me over and over and over again, he said, "What I'm teaching you, you teach the people. What I'm teaching you, you teach the people." And this week, the Lord is really, I taught you something this morning that the Lord, how many of you were here this morning? Okay? Something that the Lord had really been impressing upon me, especially this past week. And there's another thing that he's been teaching me this week, not something that I didn't know before, but something that really came into crystal clear focus for me this week. And I want to share it with you tonight. As I asked the Lord what he would have us to do tonight, this is what he kept laying on my heart. So are you in the 11th chapter of Hebrews? Now I want you to be ready to receive something tonight that is going to minister to you. I want you to be ready to receive something that's going to feed your reborn spirit man. Now, it's not going to be good and it's not going to be of value because I'm giving it to you. That's not the reason. It's going to be good, it's going to be beneficial, and it will be of value to you because it's the Word of God. And it wouldn't matter if it was a talking monkey up here. If it's the Word of God, it'll minister to you. So prepare your hearts to receive from God's Word. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that your Word is true. Jesus said, "Thy Word is truth." Over and over again in the Word of God, we're told that your Word is your power, that your Word is you, that your Word is Spirit. And as we read your word tonight, as we share it, as we feed upon it, Father, we want you to cause it to nourish our spirit man. We want that reborn spirit inside us to rise up and live big. We want him to be the one that rules our mind and rules our body and rules the circumstances of our life. And we know that in order for him to do that, he must be fat on the Word of God. He must be strong and fat on the Word of God. He needs to be sleek, nourished on the Word of God. Father, I thank you for this truth which is in your Scripture. And I thank you, Lord, for the anointing that is in me and on me, which is going to permit me to share this word tonight clearly, powerfully, and in a way that all of the sheep will get something good to eat. There's plenty of room at the feed trough tonight, Father, and I thank you that everybody is going to feed to the full. And I ask you, Father, to cause the ears and the hearts of each person in this auditorium tonight to be anointed by your Spirit, that as the Word of God touches them, it will cause life to spring up in those hearts. And I give you the praise, Father, for all that you're going to do, what you're going to teach us, for the way you're going to clear up some foggy areas. In Jesus' blessed name, amen. All right, I think that's exactly what the Lord wants to do tonight, is clear up some foggy areas. The 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, the 6th verse. The 6th verse. All right, I want everybody to read it with me in unison. If you have your Bibles and you have that reference, just read it with me as we read. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. All right, now read just the first part of it again. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. How many of you in here tonight want to please your heavenly Father? Just let me see your hands. Now, the writer of the book of Hebrews says clearly how to do it. He says, without faith, you cannot please God. So how do you please God? By faith. Faith is what pleases God. Your having faith is the thing that pleases your heavenly Father the most. Now, what is faith? If you're like me, from the time you were this big until now, till you were this big, all right, you've heard the word faith. But do we know what faith really is? Do we understand what faith really is? I want to talk to you tonight about faith. Look at verse 1 in that same 11th chapter of Hebrews. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. All right, that's very interesting. Can you see faith? Can you see faith? Faith is the evidence of something which is not seen. Do you see that? You can't see faith. It's real, but you can't see it. You can't get a hold of it. Nobody has ever seen faith. Now, we've seen faith demonstrated. You've seen faith released. You've seen faith in action, but you have never seen faith. Faith is the evidence of something which you cannot see. Now, an evidence is a proof. An evidence is something that proves another thing. When you go into court and give evidence, what are you giving? You are giving proof concerning another matter, something which you cannot see. Paul says that faith is the evidence of things which are not seen. All right, turn to the 20th chapter now of the book of John. We're going to just lay some background here, and then we're going into Mark. John chapter 20. Verse 26. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. Most of you could quote that verse. Blessed are they that have not seen, but have yet believed. But do you know that that applies not to Thomas, but to you and to me? Jesus said that the ones that are blessed are the ones that believe without seeing. Why is that? Because believing without seeing is what? Faith. And faith pleases who? God. All right? Blessed are those that have not seen and yet believe. When you believe without having seen, you are blessed, because that's faith, and faith pleases God. Do you see that? All right, now go to the 11th chapter of the book of Mark. We've been talking in these last few Sunday nights about faith, about believing God, and about receiving from God His promises and His blessings. And we've been... Yes, we have. Yes, we have. We've been straightening out some areas concerning faith in the last few weeks. We've been straightening out some false ideas about faith and what it is, what it isn't. All right, in this chapter 11 of the book of Mark, Jesus gives a lesson to his disciples in faith. I want to go to the 24th verse particularly. Matthew 11, 24. I'm going to talk about that for just a minute. Now, I think in this verse, this will really start to come together for you. Jesus said, Therefore, I say unto you, Therefore, I, Jesus, say unto you, put your own name in there. I, in this verse, is Jesus. The you is you. Therefore, I, Jesus, say unto you, Vic. This is Jesus of Nazareth, your Savior and mine, speaking to you and to me personally. This is a personal message to you and to me. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire. We talked this morning a little bit about things, didn't we? What are things? Spiritual blessings only? No. Things, all kinds of things. Spiritual blessings, material blessings, financial blessings, healing, prosperity, salvation, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Whatever it is, whatever thing it is that you have need of, he said, whatsoever things ye desire. Whatever it is that ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Every time I read this verse, and every time I study it, something new comes out. There is so much in this verse of Scripture that as we get more and more and more of it, we understand more and more about the ways of God. He said, What things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. All right, now we're not going to talk about that whole verse, but this little part of it I want you to get. When ye pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Now, when Jesus said, ye shall have them, he is also saying, you don't have them yet. Because if you already had them, he wouldn't say, you shall have them. If you already had the physical thing, he wouldn't say, you shall have them. Shall is future tense. You don't have it yet. He said, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. When you pray is right now. When you're going to have them is later. Do you see that? if you were already going to have them now, he wouldn't say you shall have them. Because shall have is later. Do you see that? How many of you see what I'm saying? When you pray is now. When you shall have is later. Now, if you ask me how much later, I don't know how much later. Jesus didn't say that. All he said was, there's a difference in time between when you pray and when you have. There's a period of time lapsed in there. When you pray is here. When you shall have is sometime in the future. All right, now, what do you do between the time you pray and the time you have? What does he say? Believe that ye receive them. What do you do between the time you pray and the time you have? You believe that you receive them. Do you see that in your verse there? Is that what it says? When you pray, believe that you receive them. What? Believe that you receive what? Believe you receive what? What you prayed for, and what did you pray for? Read it in the Bible. Read it in the verse there. What did you pray for? Whatsoever things you desire. All right, whatsoever things you desire, Jesus said, while you're praying, when you're praying, at that moment, believe right then that you receive them and ye shall have them sometime in the future. All right, what are you doing, you see, between the when you pray and the ye shall have? You're walking in faith, aren't you? Because what is faith? The evidence of things not seen. Now, if when you prayed, let's suppose that one of you was sick tonight, physically sick. Let's suppose that you had nothing too serious, you had a sore throat. Okay? Sore throat's not likely to kill anybody. And you were prayed for that. You came forward perhaps and I agreed with you in prayer and perhaps had laid my hands upon you and prayed with you that healing would take the place of that sore throat, that it would be gone and that your body would be healed. Now, if you were healed immediately, you would not be believing you received your healing, would you? You'd be knowing that you received your healing. Why? Because you already have the physical evidence. Your throat doesn't hurt anymore. Suppose you had a wart on your hand, or a boil, or some kind of a disfiguration. And suppose we prayed for that. Yes, we do. We do that. We believe God heals all kinds of imperfections, whether it be a broken arm or a cold or a cancer or a bad heart or a tumor. No matter what it is, we believe God's got the power and the ability and the will to heal those things, and we believe Him to do so. But suppose you had a mole or a wart or a boil or something on your hand, and you were prayed for that, and the wart left you immediately, just like that. Would you have to believe that you received it? No, you wouldn't. You would know you received it. And if I said to you, how do you know that you received it? And you say, look at my hand. The wart's all gone. There's no wart there anymore. You would have the physical evidence of your healing. It would already be there. You could demonstrate to the whole world that you already have it. But suppose I lay my hands upon you and we pray and agree together that you're going to be healed and that wart is going to disappear, and the wart does not disappear. Now what do? You believe that you receive your healing, and then what happens? Read it. Read it out of the Word. Then what will happen? You shall receive it. Do you see that? You do the believing, you see, when you don't have the physical evidence. Faith is the evidence of things which is not seen. Now let me give you a couple of examples, and we'll come back to that. But I want to give you a couple of examples out of the Word to help you to see this more clearly. Right there in the 11th chapter of the book of Mark, in the 12th verse. On the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Verse 20. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Now there's something interesting happened to this fig tree. When Jesus cursed the fig tree, nothing happened to it. Jesus said, No man eat any fruit of you forever. And he turned and promptly walked away. Now, if it had been you and I, if it had been most of God's people, most of God's Spirit-filled people, particularly, we'd have grabbed a hold of the tree and started to shake it and said, Die! In the name of Jesus, I command you to die! Leaves start to wither! Limbs start to fall off! In Jesus' name, die! Die! See? And the tree wouldn't die. Tree looks like it's still living. See? But Jesus had the faith of God that when he spoke the word, he knew that that tree would die, and he believed that he had received the answer to that which he had spoken, and he went on about his business. And the next day when they came by the tree, it was the disciples that were surprised. It wasn't Jesus. It wasn't Jesus that said, Hey guys, you see the tree I cursed last night? You see it's all withered up from the roots. It wasn't him. It didn't surprise him a bit. He knew the tree would die. Why? Because he believed that he received when he spoke it. It was the disciples who were surprised. They're the ones that were amazed that the tree was withered up from the roots. One of the things that causes God's people to have difficulty in receiving the blessings of God and receiving the answers to God, to prayer is the fact that it often takes time. Time often elapses, is what I want to say, between the time the prayer is offered and the time the manifestation comes. What you do in that interim will determine whether or not you receive what you've asked for from God. What you do from the time when you pray and the time that it's manifested in the physical, natural world will determine what happens, whether you're going to receive it or not. And most people lose God's blessings because they walk out of faith. Most people lose the answers to their prayer because they step out of faith. How does it happen? The minute that they pray, they say, Lord, my husband's lost. He doesn't know you. He's lost, and if he dies, he's going to hell. But I don't want him to. I want him to be saved. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, I claim my husband for the kingdom of God based on Acts 16:31 and other related scriptures, and quote those. And I believe that my husband will be saved, Father. And in Jesus' name, I roll the care of this over on you. The next morning, when the husband gets up to go to work, you bird his eggs. And he gives you a bad time. And you begin to wail and moan and cry, Oh, he'll never be saved. He's so wicked. He's so awful. He treats me so miserable. He'll never, ever be saved. And you lost it right there. You lost it right there. You lost it right there. Because you stepped out of faith, you see. You began to go by what you could see rather than by what you believed. We sing the little song, I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I hear. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm only moved by the Word of God and what I believe. Jesus wasn't moved by what he saw. The fig tree didn't die, but the next morning it died. Now turn over to the fourth chapter of John. And probably the area, of course, this is true in every area of our walk with God, but it seems to be especially difficult for us in the area of physical healing. And folks will say, well, I don't understand why it's so difficult for me to receive my healing by faith. Why is it so hard for me to be healed by faith? I know God heals. I believe it's God's will to heal. I'm His child and I belong to Him, and I believe He wants to heal me. I was prayed for. I know that other people have been healed. I've seen that. Why can't I be healed? And someone will begin to share the scripture like this, that from the time when you pray to the time you receive the manifestation, that there oftentimes is a delay, a time lapse there, for that which has taken place in the realm of the spirit to be manifest in the flesh. And while I'm on that subject, let me just call your attention to this. So you need to understand this in order to help this come together for you. Everything which takes place in the physical world takes place first in the realm of the spirit. Now, if you're not spiritually minded, this will not be easy for you to catch hold of. But everything that takes place in the natural world, in the physical world, takes place first in the spirit world. Now, how do I know that? Because the Word of God shows it. If you go all the way back to Genesis 1, the scripture says, "And God said, let there be light. And there was light." It doesn't say there was light and then God said, "Oh, goody, here's light." Do you see it? He said first, "Let there be light." He declared it in the realm of the spirit, and then there was light. He declared to the prophet Isaiah way back hundreds of years before the Christ child was ever born, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders." And we sang about it tonight. "And his name shall be called Counselor, Wonderful, Prince of Peace, Mighty God." Hundreds of years before the child was ever born, God spoke it into existence. Everything which happens here in the natural world first takes place in the spirit, in the realm of the spirit. And that's where faith works. Faith is your evidence in the spirit world. The physical evidence is your evidence in the natural world. All right, folks will say, "Well, I know God can heal, and I know He does heal, and I want Him to heal me." And they'll be prayed for, and they'll go home, and they're not healed. Now, you can say you're healed if you want to, but you're not. If you still have the wart on you, you still have it. Now, you can say it isn't there all you want, but it's still there, isn't it? Is that right? Is it right? You can say it's still there. Yeah, it's not there, but it's there. I mean, anybody can see it's not there. Anybody can see it's there. Okay? And folks get confused. They say, "Yes, thank God I'm healed. Thank God. Thank God I'm healed. Thank the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. I'm healed. I'm healed." I've been in that. People think you're a jerk. The scripture doesn't say that. The scripture says you are to believe that you have received your healing. When you're healed, you'll know it, and so will everybody else. You'll stop packing. The wart will be all gone. And when you say, "I'm healed, God healed me," and they say, "How do you know?" You say, "Well, look at my hand. There's no wart on it anymore. It's all gone." You have the physical evidence, you see. But while you're waiting for that manifestation to come, and they say, "How are you?" "I believe that I've received my healing in accordance with the Word of God." You stand on the Word. "I believe that I've received," as Jesus said. Now you're exercising your faith, which is the evidence of that which you cannot see. Do you see that? All right, let's look at this scripture in John 4. Because people will say, "Well, I don't understand that, Vic. Everybody Jesus healed, they were healed instantly. If God's divine healing power is available, why doesn't it happen just instantly?" Well, let's see. Did everybody that Jesus ministered to, were they healed instantly? Did they have it right away? John chapter 4, beginning to read the 46th verse. "So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. There was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend, and they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. All right, the familiar story of the nobleman's son. And when Jesus said, go thy way, thy son liveth, the man believed the word. Did he have evidence that his son was living? He didn't have any evidence at all, did he? He believed the words that Jesus spoke unto him, and he was in faith. Faith was his evidence. Jesus spoke the word, the man believed it, faith was his evidence, and he went home believing that the son lived. Now, was the son healed instantly? Look carefully. The fever left him instantly. But in 52, it says he inquired of his servants when he what? Began to mend. When he began to get better. Someone has prayed for cancer. And he's got a terminal cancer in his body. And the prayer of faith is offered for that person. And when he goes home, he gets sicker and sicker and sicker and worse and worse. And he goes to his doctor, and the doctor says it's getting worse and worse. And he says, oh my goodness, I guess the prayer didn't work. He lost it. He lost it just like that. When he stepped out of faith. If he can say, that's all right, makes no difference. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I hear. I'm not moved by what the x-ray machine says. I'm only moved by what I believe, because Jesus said unto me that whatsoever things I desire when I pray, if I believe that I receive them, then I what? I shall have them. And it doesn't matter what's happening in my body right now. I'm going to have it because I believed. Because I believed. Now go back there to Mark 11, 24 again. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, and I want you to read this carefully. What things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, what? Those things, all right? And ye shall have them. What are you going to have? What are you going to have? What are you going to have, Conway? The things you desire. What are you going to have, Nick? The things you desire. What are you going to have, Judy? Okay, whatever you ask for. Bernie, what are you going to have? Whatsoever things you desire. All right, Mary, what are you going to have? Okay, everybody missed it but one. The scripture doesn't say you will have whatsoever things you desire. You see how easy it is to miss it? He didn't say you're going to have whatever you desire. He said you're going to have whatever you believe you receive. And if you believe that you did not receive your healing, that's what you're going to have, no healing. If you believe that you received no salvation for your husband, that's what you're going to have, no salvation. If you believe that you receive no deliverance from whatever habit it is that binds you, then that's what you're going to have, no deliverance. If you believe that you receive no healing in your marriage, then that's what you're going to have. Now, how do you know what you're believing? Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Your confession, you see, is what either brings this to pass or it ensnares you. Most folks have the prayer of faith prayed for them, and then they lose it before the physical evidence comes. God begins to go to work to bring that thing to pass. But before he can bring it to pass, the order gets canceled because of doubt or unbelief. How many of you see this? Do that many of you see it? You do not receive whatsoever things you desire. You do not receive whatsoever things you pray for. You receive whatever you believe you receive. That's what you're going to receive. That is what pleases God. Jesus said, "Blessed are they which have not seen and yet believe. Blessed are they that while that cancer is still acting up in the body, that he can say, 'I believe that I receive my healing.'" Jesus said, "Blessed are those." Blessed are the ones that don't know where the money's going to come from to make the car payment, but after they have prayed can say, "I believe that I have received the funds to make my car payment. I believe that I have received. I don't have it yet. If I had it, I wouldn't have to believe I had it. If I already had it, I wouldn't have to believe anymore. The believing's all finished. The faith, you see, is what I needed in order to hold on to until I did have it. But once I have it, I can turn loose of my faith. I don't need that anymore. Now I have the physical evidence." We prayed several months ago for two young children with curvature of the spine. God moved in a mighty way as we anointed those little ones with oil. A vision was even given by the Spirit of God to one of those that was praying. And the healing was seen in the Spirit. But it was not manifested yet. I don't know if it still is. I think if it was, we'd know about it. The healing wasn't manifested, but God showed that night that those children were delivered from that thing, were healed of that thing, and the spine is whole in the realm of the Spirit. Now there's a mother, you see, who brought those children for prayer, who is standing firm, "I believe that I have received." And if she'll hold fast, she will have that which God has already done in the realm of the Spirit. She will have that manifested in the bodies of her children. Then she won't have to stand fast anymore. She'll have the physical evidence of it. She'll have the x-rays, you see, that everybody will know. Faith is what you use in between the time you pray and the time you receive. "I believe that I have received whatever it is I've asked of God." And I continue to confess that regardless of the physical evidence, it makes no difference. Whether the fig tree has leaves on it or no leaves on it makes no difference. "I believe that I have received." That should be our confession. The confession is in line with God's word. It's what Jesus said, you see? And if you confess the words that Jesus said, you know you're on solid ground. God's people, because of not understanding this, have allowed the enemy to take away and rob them of the blessings that God has already promised. Because God's people did not know how to walk in faith, how to stand in faith, how to believe God. Many of the things which God desires with all of his heart, with all of his Father's heart, to give unto his children, never come to pass in the lives of his children. Because they don't know how to stand while the manifestation is in the process of coming. Let's look at one more scripture and then we close. Look at the Gospel of Luke, the 17th chapter. I want you to remember what faith is. Faith is the evidence of something that you cannot see. Faith is a real proof. When someone wants to see your healing, you show them your faith. Now, you don't lie to them. You don't want to lie to anybody. Someone says, is your child healed? I believe that they've received their healing. Someone says, do you have enough money to make the car payment? I believe that I've received my need met. Someone says, how do you feel? You just don't answer how you feel. You just don't talk about it. I believe that I've received my healing or my deliverance. The Bible says that God watches over His word to perform it. When you confess the word of God over and over and over, it rings the bell in heaven. And God is watching for that word. When you confess it, He is there to honor it. Luke, the 17th chapter, the 11th verse. And it came to pass, as he, that is Jesus, went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. They lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. 10 men prayed to Jesus. They said, have mercy on us. Jesus didn't pray for them. He didn't lay his hands on them. He didn't rant and rave. He said, go and show yourself to the priest. Now, if you don't understand what the law was about leprosy, then this wouldn't really make a lot of sense to you. But under the law, lepers were unclean and were not able to come close to people who had not contracted the disease. They were not permitted within a certain number of feet of those that were whole. That's why it says that 10 lepers came to Jesus and they stood afar off. They had to stand afar off. They were not permitted by law to come any closer. If healing had ever taken place in the life of a leper, he was enjoined under the law to go to the Levitical priest. The priest would examine him to see if he was clean, to make sure he was clean. It would be like going to the doctor and having him confirm your healing. Lepers were to go to the priest and get their healings verified and confirmed and offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto God. Then they could be declared whole. Jesus said to them, go to the priest. Now, most of God's people would have said, but Jesus, why should we go to the priest? This stuff is all over us. There's no reason to go to the priest. We still have leprosy all over our bodies. Jesus said, go to the priest. Some would read this story and say, I don't understand why all 10 got healed. Only one of them came back to give Jesus thanks. The other 9 never even bothered to thank him. Why would Jesus heal such hard-hearted people? Well, I'm going to tell you why Jesus healed them. He healed them because they were acting in faith, no matter whether they came back to thank him or not. They obeyed his word. They were believing him. He said, go show yourself to the priest. Here they are still full of leprosy because the scripture says, as they went, they were cleansed. While they were walking to the temple, they were cleansed. As they were walking along, they were cleansed. When they turned and started off towards the temple, they were still full of leprosy. Now, why would they go to the temple anyway while this leprosy was all over their bodies? Because they believed that they had received their healing according to the words of Jesus. And he even said later on in this passage, down here in the 19th verse, and he said unto him, arise and go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now, there's something very interesting in that. Jesus did not say, the power of my word healed you. The anointing of my spirit healed you. The glorious supernatural gifts of the Holy Ghost healed you. He didn't say that. He said, thy faith hath made thee whole. It was the faith of these 10 lepers. And how was their faith demonstrated? When Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest, they believed that they received, that when they got to the priest, that they would be clean and they'd have clean bodies to show. Do you see that? How many of you see this? All right. Good. Good. Just close your Bibles for a moment and bow your heads. Father, we thank you tonight for your word, and we acknowledge your word is true. We thank you, Father, that all that you have for us is offered to us freely. There's no price to be paid. It's already been paid by Jesus. But that we do have a part in receiving from you. We do not receive the blessings of God like the land receives the rain. The rain falls on the ground whether the ground wants it or not. But you didn't make us lifeless like the ground. You made us in your own image. You made us living beings, living spirits. You gave us wills of our own, that we could will to obey you, that we could will to believe you, that we could will to have faith towards you. We thank you, Father, that while your gifts are freely given, that you require of us, yes, Father, we thank you that you do require of us a response of faith, that we exercise our faith in your promise and in your word. And Father, in the blessed name of Jesus, we thank you for that which you've shared with us tonight. We receive it as your word. And we trust, Father, that you'll cause that word to go down deep into our spirit. I mean, Father, way down deep, where it joins, where your word joins with our spirit and it becomes one. We pray, Father, that there'll be fertile ground for this seed to grow so that it will come to full term and produce abundant fruit. Father, you saw most of us in here tonight raise our hand in response to the question, who wants to be pleasing to God? And we do want to please you, Father. You're showing us how we are to please you by believing you in the absence of physical evidence. Lord, we so want to be pleasing in your sight. We want to be able to say like Jesus, everything that we do pleases the Father. We want to be able to make that profession and that declaration that we're pleasing unto you in everything that we do. We acknowledge that you're a God of faith, that even all of the worlds were created by faith, for that's what you said in Hebrews 11:3, that by faith all of the worlds were framed by the word of God. And if you're a God of faith, then we must be children of faith, because that's the nature of this holy family. That's the one thing that causes us to be alike. Now, Father, we'd ask you to forgive us where we've missed it. We ask you to forgive us, Lord, in those situations where we have asked and did not receive, and we thought you had done something wrong, or we thought maybe we misunderstood your promise. But we see tonight that we didn't misunderstand your promise. We misunderstood our part in bringing it to pass. Father, we just bless you in Jesus' name for how easy and how simple you've made it. And Lord, it's difficult for some of us to understand this because our minds have not been completely renewed by your word. And we still think in the ways of the world rather than in the ways of your spirit. But Lord, we know that this seed that's being planted will just grow and produce and benefit us. We thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I sense tonight, it's good for me that I don't go on the basis of how I feel. Say, why does he say that? I don't know what you're sensing in the congregation tonight, but I didn't sense the message going forth with the same clarity that it usually does. But God Almighty, you see, is true to his word. And when we prayed before we began to share the scripture, we asked the Spirit of God to anoint my lips and your ears. We ask him to bless the message as it went forth, and I don't care how I feel. Now, some of you will understand that, some of you won't. But it doesn't matter how I feel, because the Word of God is true. Every bit of it. And you've received the Word of God tonight, and it'll benefit you, and it'll bless you.